Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration Service for the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So the silence is calling us to be here now. We are here to be here in the sacred moment and to open and expand our field of perception into a realization of oneness. There's only one here. And you are that. I am that. And so we rest in that awareness that doesn't think thoughts, even though thoughts arise in that field. It doesn't feel feelings, even though feelings arise. My Zen calendar this morning was Ramana Maharshi, who said, thoughts come and go, feelings come and go. Put your attention on what does not come and go. And so we rest in that field of awareness. Dare I call it a field of love? Knowing that that love is real. I'm going to invite you to journey with me as I read a poem. Jody read it to us in our satsang on Wednesday night. It's by James Twyman, who wrote this beautiful book called The Master Teacher Within, and the poem is intended to take us home to that field that is the truth of who we are. So I invite you to take this. The experience of I am that is not a fixed state, but is a dynamic one. It is the continual unfolding within us, and it requires us to remain open and receptive. We must be willing to let go of our attachments, our thought patterns, our emotional patterns, and embrace the unknown. You must be willing to challenge your belief systems and expand your understanding of truth. And so here is the poem. Resist the urge to cling to earthly ties, to cling to what you do or where you dwell, and open up your heart to boundless skies, where oceans deep contain eternal swells. The ocean has no bottom and no end. It stretches out into eternity, where you'll discover the self with a capital S, complete. Beyond all labels is your pure divinity. The words that leave your lips will be concise. I am that. The only words you'll say. And those who ask will find no real advice for that. Eludes description in every way. That seed will grow with roots that delve down deep, nourished by your quest for reality, till one day they too will awaken from their sleep, and in their hearts they'll say with clarity, I am that. A mantra echoing strong, a universal truth that all can see, a holy breath that spreads like this bright song, a light that comes with love to set us free. A light that comes with love to set us free. To set us free of our thought patterns, to set us free of our emotional patterns. Out of the light of the one comes the love to embrace the moment and to set us free. So feel that freedom. Feel the choice point. So find that illumined aspect of your being, infuse it with divine love, and set ourselves free of our own self-inflicted nonsense. This is the moment the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So it is. So I invite you to join with me. Here's the little book that just came off, hot off the press. The Master Teacher Within, James Twyman's new book. 20 different chapters. I'm thinking of teaching this because each chapter takes you in. Each chapter takes you in to your true nature, to your true nature. Do we want true nature? Or do we want to deal in the world of effect, to manifest this and manifest that? I would suggest to you, once you find the Master Teacher Within, well, your job is done. Because then there's no you to screw things up, or me to screw things up. Isn't it nice to know that the only problem we ever have is ourselves? It's the conditioned self, it's the programmed self. And so much of what we're doing in life is cleaning up our act. They lied to us, they told us all kinds of things. And now we get to find out who we are. I'm sitting here with my friend Bruce. He is the higher power to a couple of friends of mine. And I was told that he wanted to sit with me today, so I thought I'll give Bruce an opportunity. I have my old teddy bear in my bedroom that I've had since I was a little kid. And he's almost as threadbare as this one. And he has a little scarf around his neck. It's orange. It was given by a sadguru. So here's my little teddy bear, Gregory, with his little orange collar. And he sits and looks down upon me in the right-hand corner of the bedroom. You know, if you feng shui your rooms, the right-hand corner is your love corner. So let's say in your bedroom, when you're sleeping, in your right-hand corner, you put all the objects of love. So I have the photograph of my mother when she graduated from high school. She's so pretty. I have a photograph of mom and dad when they were wild and in love. God knows that was before I was born. Then I have my twin sister and my brother and my little sister. And then the dogs are all there. And then right in the middle is sitting Gregory the bear to remind us that he's holding us all together. And he says, I'm not just a stuffed animal, you know. I have purpose and intention. I'm here to bring love. And so Trey says, you need to get rid of that old teddy bear. Take it to the yard sale. I said, no, I'm not getting rid of Gregory. You know, everything has cooties, has vibration. So could we open to the vibration of Bruce this Sunday morning and know that all of life is a transmission? There is a transmitter, there is a receiver, and there is that which is transmitted. So what if Bruce is giving you his stillness? He's giving you his peace. He's giving you his unconditional love. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to say you're not worthy of his love. And you know what's even better about Bruce? He says, I practice equanimity. Michael, you want my arms around you? Adam, you want my arms around you? He's not possessive. He's not attached. He doesn't get his feelings hurt. If you cast him aside, he knows that you're having a bad day. And when you get your act together, you'll probably pick him up again. And so we get to have a relationship with ourself. And we think we're having a relationship with a stuffed animal. But no, we're having a relationship to how we approach life. Could we see the sweetness of things? That it's all sacred, that it's all here for us. And so this month, I'm talking about the endless practice. You know, it was Marilyn Ferguson said, enlightenment is an eternal journey with no final destination. In other words, you're going to be practicing this for the rest of your eternity, not just in this lifetime, and we're all working on knowing the truth that we are that. It's like the ocean. The Sufis liken it to the ocean, and we are the little river, the river who's being called back to the ocean of oneness. And so there's that which is in the river that's pulling it to go home. Adam has that strong pull, this pull to go home. But then the Sufis say, once you get home, the river gets home, it's no longer got the pull to get there because it's arrived. I have arrived. I am home. I don't need to strive after getting to the kingdom of heaven, because guess what? As Jesus said, I found that it was right there within me and it's all around me, but I didn't see it because I was looking through the lens of me. And so then you get this beautiful book by this Oxford professor in her 80s called The Story of Gaia. And she says, Gaia is waking up. The intelligence of the universe is waking up. And she coined a phrase called the universe soul. The universe soul is waking up within all creation. And so instead of entropy, which is the old science of things coming apart, she says there's a new theory called entropy, which says the intelligence of the universe is waking up in the trees, in the seals, in the animals, in the oceans. And guess what? Who's the last to wake up? Well, I think it might be the human being. What do you think? And so then you look at the cover of Science of Mind magazine that came out this month, and it says the light is on the move because the shadow is so dark on the planet. Now, does the light need the shadow in order for the light to shine? I wonder. Look what happened in Nashville when those two young black men were standing up for the kids that had been shot in that school shooting, and they were expelled from the legislature. And these two young men said, you can't expel hope. You can't expel truth. You can't expel. And so they took their voice, Ms. Tia, and they've been reinstated, because they're not going to say, no, I am concerned about our children. You know, that's the number one place for kids to die is by guns. I wouldn't send my kids to school anymore. I'd homeschool them, because it's not safe to walk around with guns, especially if you have a crazy husband like myself. And if someone ever gives him a gun, don't you dare, because you know I won't be here on Sunday morning. So the darkness comes so it can be met. My friend Carol Carnes says this. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, wonder generates enthusiasm. So that's why if we can find the child within, it can take us to a realization of our interconnectedness. The principles of life is that everything changes, everything is connected. So listen, it's all part of you. So he says a child understands this. Wonder generates enthusiasm with children. The theme of hidden treasures is replete throughout literature. Most observable are the fairy tales. The prince is hiding in the frog. The king is hidden in his ragged clothes. The answer is encoded in a message. The gentle heart is within the beast. So life is more than it appears to be always. There is an inherent light or a spiritual potential within all sentient beings. Could we find the light within? I know there's a light in there, little Mary. I can see it, even though you might have no. The light's within everything. Could we call forth the light? She says, there is an inherent light or a spiritual potential within all sentient beings, and it is the power that animates us, and it is the presence of Source itself, and I am that. So could we go home to the light within? Don't put your light under a bushel, Jesus said. In Sufism, they say, Nur ala Nur, light upon light. The light in me meets the light in Paula, and we experience the one light. It's not my light, it's the light. So she goes on to elucidate how the shadow is calling the light into existence. Don't you feel that in our revealing service, that the light sits in that? Even though the shadow may come up, it's coming up to be embraced, to be held, to be integrated. Not to be denied, not to be exiled. No. Your little shadow, little girl and little boy, they need to be held just like Bruce needs to be held. So when my little boy comes up to you, Pam, and he's a little fragile, put your arms around him. Don't tell him to grow up and act like a man like my dad used to do. There's something still 6 years old in there. So she goes on to say, Walt Whitman wrote, keep your face always toward the sunshine and the shadows will fall behind you. Keep your face toward the light. He says, the shadow is fear, it's blame, it's resentment, it's despair, it's condemnation, revenge, unattended wounds, superstitions, and dogma. The hidden keys to self-discovery are such things as praise, love, compassion, wonder, awe, enthusiasm, nature. Experiment with inspirational readings. That's why I give you these inspired readings, because they ignite something in me. So investigate what inspires you. Maybe it's Mary Oliver poetry, where she's talking to the wild geese and she's finding oneness there. You need to read good things. He says, she says this, the shadow is not a reflection of the light. It's what appears when the light is blocked. So our spiritual adventure is about removing the blocks of our false identity so that we can uncover the treasure within. uncover the treasure within. But you got to remove the blocks, the false idea that you had of yourself, the masks that you've been wearing that you think the world wants you to wear so that you can be acceptable to them. What if the masks don't work anymore and they fall away? And then you're naked in your own truth, in the light of who you really are. Isn't that right, Bruce? Yes, it is. Be who you is. There is an ancient truth. What you are looking for, you are looking with, and you are looking at. That's what Ernest Holmes says in The Science of Mind. The thing you're looking for, you're looking with, and you're looking at, because it's all the kingdom of heaven. Remember Jesus? The kingdom is within and it's all around, but you don't see it because you think you're separate. And so then in the story of Gaia, she says it all starts off in unity consciousness, where there's only one here. And then the second phase, and we're in that big time, is unity and diversity. There's still the unity, but we've identified with the diverse elements of separateness. But ultimately, it has to return to this third phase. She calls it the Trinity of Being, where the third phase is you arrive and you know, you see through the eyes of God. It's not David seeing anymore. It's the one looking through David. It's the one looking through Bruce. It's the one looking through all of us. It's not about me anymore. And then, as this PhD from Oxford said, you move from the me into the we, and ultimately you arrive at the all. It's all the one. I am that. It's all that. Ta tuam asi. Thou art that. There's only that. And the shadow. So you're the one that you've been looking for, and it turns out that you are the golden egg that the goose laid. Now, she has a sense of humor. So what if the treasure you're seeking is right there within you all along? And we come here as sleuths to discover something that is inherently already there. It's always already there. It's not something you achieve after taking my classes for 30 years, Gigi. No, it was already there before you even stood in that class. Every time I see horses, I think of Gigi riding a horse. I never got to see you riding a horse, but I bet you were beautiful, riding that horse through the fields with your hair blowing in the wind. I never had the opportunity to do that. So when I see the horses, I have a vicarious connection. That too is God. That too is an expression of the one life. So what is it that expands us? Is it a stuffed animal that you know won't reject you, that will give you unconditional love? Are we here to be just like Bruce, to be unconditional love without an agenda, without a story? I'm sure he has a story, doesn't he, Barry? But he's not going around telling you a story. Oh, woe is me. Up until now, I was an abused penguin, but now I've arrived. And I found a home, I found my tribe, and I belong. And so Bruce is transmitting this sense of inclusivity, that we all arrive at the present moment, and all we ever have is the here and now. Hey, Mark, good to see you. I like it when people make an entrance. They open the doors and they casually walk. You know, in 1976, they had the bicentennial, and I was working on my master's in dance in San Jose, California. I'm 25 years old, and they needed someone to play Yankee Doodle Dandy. So they picked me. And I was wearing a white tuxedo, and it was a big auditorium. It's July 4th, 1976. I was going to say 1776, but it was the bicentennial. And so they're doing a disco version, Yankee Doodle, keep it up, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. And then, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle. So I'm in the white tuxedo in the back of the thing with my tap shoes on. They fling the doors open. You reminded me of this, Mark. And I'm supposed to run down the aisle, and the audience stands, and Yankee Doodle, keep it up, keep it up. And Yankee's running down the aisle. He's running down the aisle. And he gets up on stage, and he can't remember the choreography. And so I thought, okay, you're Yankee Doodle Dandy. You can do whatever you want. So I did my own improvisational thing while the dancers were all doing their choreographed piece behind me. You just show up for the moment, and the moment will tell you what it requires. Now, that's here to be here. Not here to give them what you think they want to give. No, you're here to show up for the moment. And if you don't remember your choreography, you don't remember it, and so it is. The path that takes me closest to being here in spirit and in truth is the Sufi path. That's the path of the lover. It's the path of dissolving into oneness. It's the path that says all swimming in the ocean of love ends in drowning. So there's not David and the love. There's only the love moving through David. And that's what we all are, is the love. And so Kabir Helminski has a beautiful way of describing this, this thing that's courting us. We think we're courting it, but it's courting us. And it's that silence within the soul. That's why we meditate. That's why we ring the bell, to find that silence. Bob's beautiful music is there to tickle the silence. And you find that there's this something, the vibration of love when he plays his music. You're not thinking thoughts. You're probably not feeling feelings. And yet you're entering into a field. So Kabir talks about that field. It's courting us. Could we court it as well? So he says, silence is not a lack of words. Silence is the presence within oneself. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. That's where the knower is, in the stillness. When you get still, when I did Haley's memorial service, she was with me the night before, wanted me to tell her daughter that she's still here. In the stillness, you can access me. I did not die. And so the stillness has a way of communicating. It's that master within. Could we be here for that? And you know, everything I do on Sundays is to point you to that thing which is already there. It's always already there. But you have to get still in order for it to reveal itself. So if your mind's going yadda yadda yadda, we have a practice in our artist's way. You write down 3 pages every morning, and that's really to cleanse you out. It's like taking a spiritual dump. These are all your thoughts. These are all your emotions. Get it off on the page. And then once it's all out of you, well, then who am I now? Without that narrative, without that story, without that, that life sucks. And really like, nah, up until now, I used to do that. Now I'm courting the silence, and the silence smiles within the heart. If you don't know where the silence is, hold Bruce. He'll tell you where the silence is. He's not coming with his narrative. So he goes on to say, we're intending to awaken a capacity. There's that C word, Adam. Kabir says, we're intending to awaken a capacity so that we can see things as they really are, not as we are, and stay present with what is. You know, we don't look at the world and see it as it is. We oftentimes see it as we are. And then we add our judgment, our opinion, our conclusions. And it's not that way. It's what it is. Could we see the divine order? That things have to be dark sometimes for the light to wake up. It's definitely that way in this country of America. I love watching Louis Gates' Finding Your Roots, because no matter who he has, when they start going into the past, we were a messed up country. We have some karma that we need to rectify, especially around the interracial thing. And I love it when it comes up, because it's coming up to be seen. Never again will we consider human rights secondary to property rights. And I love it when the truth comes out. The truth will set you free. But first it ticks you off. But let it set you free. You weren't born in sin. I hope you're not upset about that. And there is no devil. We don't got the devil here. Boy, Charlie Johnson was so happy when he found that out. I couldn't get rid of him after that. We're intending to awaken your capacity to see it, to be present. And ultimately, this capacity is going to lead to something quite extraordinary. Just think, you're expanding your capacity to merge with oneness. Aside from ourselves and aside from who we think we are, ultimately, it's going to lead to a relationship with what we will call divine guidance. A relationship with divine guidance. A relationship with wisdom. I didn't say knowledge. A relationship with wisdom. Some of the wisest people on the planet don't have any education formally, but yet they have the wisdom of life. It's leading us to the source of cosmic love itself. Now, Michael, do you want that? The source of cosmic love itself? Or do you want that cute little girl over there at the Dairy Queen? No, you want the source of cosmic love itself. But maybe I'll go to the Dairy Queen first and then come back to it. No. It is said in our tradition of Sufism that the human heart is a threshold between both worlds. Could we open our heart to whomever shows up in that space? You know, the threshold is between the limited material world and the infinite spiritual reality. Infinite spiritual reality. You're an infinite being, but Ms. Barbara, you're an eternal being. And yet there's this finite world that comes and goes. Could we detach enough from the finite to know ourselves as eternal? He's inviting us. This is the capacity word again. The threshold is between the limited material world and this infinite spiritual reality. And the heart is the threshold. So we should be on the threshold all the time, bridging these two worlds. Bridging these two worlds. And where is the bridge going to happen? In the heart. It's in the heart. It's not in the head. You know how heads are. Well, I think they should do it this way. No, I think they should do it that way. No, no, no. Now get out of the head. Bob and I, we work with the music on Sunday mornings, and we ultimately, I say to him, you're not the doer, Bob, and have no attachment to the outcome. And then all of a sudden, we fly by the seat of his pants, and it's perfect. We don't have to have a plan. We don't have to have it all. The mind wants that, but the soul says, the soul knows how to create, doesn't it, Tia? Tia, she reminded me once, she said, you can't have organized play. She said, play, by its very nature, has to be free. If you organize it, it's not play anymore. It's work, she said. So, a little bit more. He says, when we live in the reality and are aware of this presence, then we are in remembrance. It's so simple. The path is one of forgetting and one of remembering. When we forget, it was, you know, Hanuman is the monkey god. And Hanuman, you see him in these little effigies. We have one in the bookstore. He says, the monkey god, and he has his hands like this, and there's this big pounding heart. So Hanuman is, remember, they're pointing towards something. Hanuman says, when I forget who I am, I serve Ram. I serve God. When I remember who I am Ram. So when you remember that you are that light through love that sets you free. When you remember that, well, then you don't have to call upon a power outside of you. And then you realize your higher power is within you. And Bruce came to show you that. Yeah, he did. So he goes on to say, it changes everything when you remember the truth. We can realize that we are not just the content of our experience. We're also this beautiful context in which the experience arises. Now, those two words, content and context, are disturbing for some people. Content are the details of your life, your story. The context is the universal life in which the content arises. So it's like the clouds in the sky. What if you identified with the sky instead of the clouds? The clouds would be me and my story. And they're probably dark, little heavy clouds. But when you stop identifying with the content and you end up in the context, we're all the same. We're all spirit, out picturing in form, but we're spirit first and form second. We're a spiritual being and we're having a human experience. That subtle shift, when you remember that, I am remembering who I am. I'm a spiritual being and I'm having a human experience. Isn't that great to know who I am? This is a spiritual being having a penguin experience. It's all spirit. It's all spirit. He says, we can realize that we are not just the content of our experience, we're also the beautiful context, which is the divine and purposeful guiding light that moves us stage to stage, deeper and deeper into the truth of who we are. Now, isn't it nice to know that this is an eternal journey home, and you just keep going deeper and deeper into the truth of your being until there's no you left? Well, there's still going to be a lot of you, this, because, you know, you're a work in progress. There's going to be so much you. You're probably going to have lifetime after lifetime to deal with you. But I'm just trying to be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if the little iceberg of you dissolved? You know, iceberg is an interesting symbol. You see the iceberg. It's made out of water. And one little tenth is on top, is visible. But 9/10 is under the water. So 9/10 of us is subjective. It's in our programming. The 1/10 that we see, well, the world sees, that's fine. But there's this deep part of us that is unseen. That's the subjective. That's where the shadow lurks. And it's all resting in an ocean of oneness. Now, what if you, the separate iceberg, metaphorically, could just dissolve? Melting, I'm melting, melting, melting. And all that was left is the ocean. And you say, oh my God, I've arrived, I'm home, I'm the ocean. But we need an iceberg, so we start to congeal another iceberg, Miss Susan. We'll have another little iceberg called Susan. She'll have her pretty little top, but then she's got this story down below. Or not. I play with metaphors. All the heart wants is an expanding relationship. Isn't that nice to know, Barry? All the heart wanted was an expanded relationship. Now, sometimes it's hard to do with the human species, I must admit. So you can do it at four-legged. They work pretty well. Or these little stuffed animals work pretty well. We want relationship. It is the friendship to other where our conscious hearts can begin to merge, who are in the state of remembrance, and in that state of coherence and resonance, and that's what lifts us up and heals us, to find through remembrance coherence. Have you ever seen a tuning fork? When one side's tuning and then the other side, and then they start vibrating to the same frequency, that's coherence. Ashley and I have coherence. When she walks through the neighborhood and I see her out, I put my arms around her and give her a flower. That's coherence. So what if we could seek coherence with our neighbors, with the trees? Tia was talking about a fish on the floor, and the teacher said not to touch the fish. And all the students obeyed until one little girl scooted her chair up and rescued the fish and put it in the water because her heart couldn't not do it. So what if we get to have those little wake-up calls in life? We're saying, take care of this. It's the friendship of other conscious hearts who are in a state of remembrance and ultimately find a state of coherence and resonance. That's what lifts us up, and that's what heals us. Have you noticed how the four-leggeds are such healers on the planet? That they come into your space and they give you unconditional love. That little one-eyed pug of mine, Jody, he has a cataract on his eye, on the one eye that exists, and then he has these little tags that he gets, these little things. He's got a tag coming right out of his cataract on his eye. And I look at him and I shake my head, and then I said, well, he doesn't have a narrative. He's not complaining about it. He's in the context of divine love. And so wherever he goes, he's just the embodiment of love, severely compromised. And I've heard several of you tell me how compromised you are and how your bodies don't work the way they used to. Go have communion with the pug and say, he'll tell you, live with it. So it hurts a little bit. You just waddle a little slower. I'm always shoving chondroitin glucosamine in his food, thinking I'm going to remedy it. But I just have to learn to accept that he doesn't have a problem with it. It is the friendship of our conscious hearts. And so he said, this is transformation occurs within friendships. It's accepting the truth that everything is personal, everything is purposeful, and we're all friends of the friend. And the friend does it with the big friend. We're all friends of the beloved. And that's what they speak about God. God is the friend. And so in Sufism, you meet in the tavern of love. This would be called the tavern of love. All you 12-step people, don't take it personally, because what we serve up are buckets and glasses of love. Would you like a little love, Barry? How about a little love over here? A little light, a little love, a little acceptance, a little possibility, a little truth, to live the truth, not to live somebody else's version of what truth is. Then imagine what life would look like if you could choose to make a commitment to be here in the one life that you've been given with gratitude. As he said, everything is purposeful. So when stuff happens, it's purposeful. It's not a problem. It came there to wake us up. How many people need to be wakened up out there? Oh, good. Every day, it's another opportunity to see our interconnectedness. Jody, you want to go ring the bell? I'll do a little closing meditation, and then we'll play some music, and then maybe sing a song at the end. And I'm ready when you are, Jody. Oh, thank you. I hear that echo of the mantra, I am that, and the universal truth is once again revealed, that all there is that, the one life emerging. And we hear the Bible that says, behold, I make all things new. And so this presence that is awakening within is always fresh. And we get to enter into that eternal now, present moment, and be here now, be love now, be here to be here, not somewhere else, but to be fully here in this present moment. And so breathe in the breath and breathe it into your body. And breathe gratitude for this amazing body that serves us so beautifully. I mean, we've subjected to so much stuff, and yet it's still there loving us, serving us. And so we place our hand on our heart. And we feel that connection to each other, that we're connected to the life that's all around us. We're connected to the life that's within us. On my Zen calendar the other day, it said, be like a butterfly who goes from flower to flower, drinking the nectar of truth. And then it said, and be like the deer who stops in the field and who enters the silence and finds peace. And so we enter the silence and we find peace. And yet we drink from the nectar of life as it offers us its many flavors of truth. And we say, yes, I am remembering who I am, the one life. Krishnamurti said, in oneself lies the whole world. And if you know how to look and to learn, well, then the door is there and the key is in your hand. But no one gives us this key or the door to open except ourself. And so in this holy instant of now, I invite you to open the window of the heart. Rumi says, when the window of the heart is open, love can flow from heart to heart. He then says, but if there's no wall between us, what need is there of a window? And so if there is a wall between you and the world, I invite you to let that wall just dissolve. We don't need to protect ourselves and hide anymore. And then feel the light of your being as it looks through love. It sets us free. Feel into that. The light of your being, looking through love, sets us free. Rest in the freedom. Rest in the love. Rest in the light. And affirm silently to yourself, I am that. And say with me the heart salutation, I honor you.
I honor you.
I respect you.
I respect you.
I love you.
You
are the awakened presence of the One.
Shining through the heart of the One.
Offering love.
To set us free
and be all that we are.
And it's already done.
And we smile.
And so it is.
Thank you, that was fun. Should we do a little collection and then Baba play a little something, and then we're going to do a little song. We'll hold some hands, and I'll offer Bruce back to his mama. Thank you for letting Bruce share this time with me. She said he wanted to come up here, what am I going to say? No? Thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org. You create a brand new